Today's reading is from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to take out your outline and your bulletin for the message this morning. And we begin thinking about a very simple statement. We live in a complicated world. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Well, that's insightful." We live in a very complicated world. Harvard Business Review had an article that pointed out that in 1980, half of the 4.4 billion population of the world were either so poor they were cut off from the rest of civilization, or lived in regimes so repressive that no outside communication was possible. In other words, half of the world was disconnected from one another. But today, with our technology, cultures that once did not have to be together are now rubbing shoulders in ways that is increasing tension, such as in Africa, Cameroon, the country where Nicole's family originated. In Cameroon, the English-speaking and French-speaking citizens are getting sideways with each other over the true heritage of the country, and social media is now escalating that tension to the point of violence. The English-speaking citizens follow a flag from what they believed is the original colony for Cameroon, and it's interesting, there's a dove in it, as if to say we could use some grace in this complicated world. Nigeria is facing a civil war now between cattle herders who are predominantly Muslim and farmers who are predominantly Christian, and this is because of climate change. The places where the cattle farmers once took the herds to drink, there's no longer water in those regions. So they're having to move southward into the farmlands, which is encroaching on the lands that are primarily owned and run by the Christians. So this conflict between herders and farmers is now becoming a religious conflict that is becoming quite deadly. Villages are being attacked. People are being struck down as they worship. Hundreds of thousands of Nigerians have been displaced from their homes because two groups of people are having a hard time living out their beliefs. Surely grace is needed in that complicated world. You don't even have to travel abroad to see the need for grace. In our own news here in Indianapolis recently, a guidance counselor at Ron Calley High School was dismissed because it was discovered that she is in a same-sex marriage. And as you dig more and more and more into the details of the story, you're tempted to say, well, it's complicated. IndyCar driver Connor Daly has lost an important sponsor for his team because of the use of a racial slur, which on the surface you would say Well, that seems to be an appropriate action until you dig into the details of the story and you realize the word was spoken decades ago and Connor Daly didn't even speak it. And you learn about that and you say, well, it's complicated. Or take, for instance, the pastor of a large Northside church in Indianapolis who gets pulled over in Zionsville one day by the police because he had recently traded automobiles and the license plate on the new car did not match the old car and it appeared like a stolen car. So when the policeman came up to the window, the pastor said, no, he said it's the fault of the BMV. That's what he said. Yeah, yeah. We live in a very complicated, complex world, and certainly the answer to our problems has to be equally, if not bigger, than our problems, right? Certainly the answer to our problems is something that's very complex, or is it? The book of Acts has this verse. It is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Now, clearly, this is talking about spiritual grace, grace for the next world. But if grace is big enough to help us after we die, certainly grace is big enough to help us while we're living, isn't it? The writer of Hebrews said, let us therefore have confidence and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Do you need grace in your life? Do you need help? Does our world need help today? Is grace really big enough for the most important ways we need help? That's the question we're going to start asking today, and we're going to ask it over the next several weeks. We're going to look at some of the most perplexing problems of our world that get down on a very personal level to our sense of unworthiness, to our selfishness, to our greed, to our need to live in a fair world, to our struggle with intolerance sometimes. And we're going to ask, is grace really big enough? And I believe if you'll make worship a commitment over these next 8 weeks to be present as much as possible, to consider the ways to practice grace in our life, that in 8 weeks you're going to experience a transformation. So today we start with this simple question. Is the idea of grace a radical idea for the problems of our world? Certainly that would have been an appropriate question in the 6th century BC when the Assyrian Empire swooped down and devastated the nation of Israel with overwhelming fury. And they took all of the able-bodied people of the country and they dispersed them through other nations of the world so that the only people who were left in the nation were remnant, who saw no hope for their nation, no hope for their own individual lives. And into that scene comes the prophet Isaiah, who speaks a word of hope that it's a picture of grace. We heard it in our scripture reading this morning. In fact, our scripture reading in Isaiah chapter 11 is chock full of important images. But today we're going to focus just on that first sentence. A sentence that is a powerful picture of hope, a picture of grace. Listen to it again. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Now, who was Jesse? Jesse was the father of King David, and it was believed that the Messiah would eventually come from the lineage of David's family. Isaiah presents this picture that one day that prophecy is going to come true, even though the appearances today are to the contrary. One day it will be fulfilled. And he gives this picture, a picture of a stump and a shoot and roots. I want us to think about those images. Think about whether or not they serve as an adequate image of grace in our lives today. So let's start with the stump. The stump represents something that has been cut down. It represents something that's been cut down. Something has been removed. Something has been taken away. A future has been evicted. Isaiah chose his image here very, very carefully because this is how the people saw themselves. Just like this stump of a giant oak tree with a graveyard behind it. That's how the people looked at their own time in their history, because at one time, they looked at their nation as a giant, dependable oak tree. It was sturdy, it was lasting, it was immune from being cut down, but now it has been. Let me ask you, have you ever been stumped? Have you ever had something that you depended on in your life and you felt was dependable? Something you could rely on, but all of a sudden it's taken away. Maybe a loved one, maybe a marriage, maybe a job, maybe a financial position, maybe your health. You just thought it would always be strong and dependable, but it seems in one fell swoop it's been taken away, and now you look to the future and you're just stumped about your own future because you don't know if you even have a future. And you know what the miserable thing about stumps is? The really miserable thing about stumps is you have to look at them every day. You gotta mow around them. When you're walking through the yard at night, you trip over them. It's as if an antagonist shows up in your life every day to remind you of what you don't have anymore. That's what's really miserable about stumps. The temptation is to want to rip the stump up and get rid of its memory. But be careful, lest we end up like the poor guy in Denver who wanted to get rid of a stump in his yard. He wrapped a chain around it and attached it to his bumper. And when he accelerated, the stump shot out of the ground through the back windshield of his truck and struck him dead. Sometimes we can get so focused on removing the things that have caused us pain that it only hurts us further in the process. And that's what makes Isaiah's next image especially powerful. The next image, of course, is the shoot. And the shoot represents God saying, I'm not through with you. I'm not through with you. I've got plans for you. I've got more I want to do with you. I have a future for you. And so the image of a shoot coming out of a dead stump is powerful. In fact, look at this picture right now and think about two things that this picture represents. As a picture of grace, it says that grace shows up in the most unexpected places. Grace appears in the place where we are not looking for God to show up. Grace shows up in the thing that we want to get rid of. That's how God works. God often shows up, not in the places that we feel great and alive and wonderful. God reserves God's grace for the places where we need grace. That's where it shows up. That's why Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Grace appears in the places we're not looking for. That might be why it's easy to miss grace sometimes, because it shows up in such a fragile, tender way, something that can be snapped with two fingers, that it's easy to miss, because we're looking for God to provide for us something as big as what's been removed. Maybe that's why we're tempted to just rip the stump up and get rid of it, so that we can say to God, now I have the whole ready. Now you can replace what I lost right here. What I'm looking for, God, is an oak tree as big and dependable as the one that got cut down. I'm not looking for a shoot. I'm not looking for something little. I'm looking for something to fill the hole that is in my soul right now. And it can be easy to miss how grace works. And then there's something else this picture represents about grace, is that it's when we've been cut down, when the things that are inside of us get revealed. It's the thing that's tucked away in our soul, the thing that forms our inner makeup, that says, this is who I really am. That comes out when we've been wounded. Whatever's inside of us is going to come out. And it shows up when we're hurting. Some years ago, I heard a speaker, a performance coach named Jack Groppel. He runs a training center in Florida for some of the biggest athletes in America. And in this presentation, he talked about training an NFL team of linebackers. They had a certain obstacle course they had to run. Take a look at this.
Well, we told these four monster men in the NFL that we had a mission for them. There's a wilderness trail that goes behind our property. It goes toward the airport in Orlando. And your mission is to run out this trail. You're to run a 9-minute mile. At the 1-mile marker, there's a white fence that comes out to the trail. Your mission is to touch the white fence and then run back in 9 minutes, 18 minutes total. They said that's all we have to do is touch the white fence. That's it. Just touch the white fence. That's it. They said, okay. So they sat down, they started putting their running shoes on. Now we have rules of engagement. Gentlemen, you're going to be running through the swamp. There's a canal that runs by this trail. Alligator migrate in and out of this canal. Keep your eyes open. And gentlemen, it's sunny outside. Poisonous snakes will be sunning themselves on the trail. Now they won't bother you, but if you see a snake coiled up, steer clear and go around it. They got to the front door. We had our stopwatches ready. Oh, guys, sorry, we forgot to tell you. Just yesterday, we sighted some wild boar out there. Now, these wild pigs, gentlemen, are bigger than you are. They have razor-sharp tusks, and they will attack you unprovoked. So if you encounter a wild boar, you must take appropriate action. But above all else, gentlemen, you must, what, everybody, in the face of the storm, complete the mission. What's the mission? Touch the white fence. Ready? Go! So they took off. I want you to get this mental picture because two of our team members were hiding in the bushes. Here are these big mammoth men in the NFL jogging down this dirt road in the tropics. They're looking around, they hear the bugs. One of our team members leaned over, grabbed a small bush and went. We had a video camera. Would you like to see the tape? Here's what you're looking at now. Let's come back to the model that we're going to present to you today. Here's what you're looking at. You are looking at what happens to a human being when confronted by a storm for which they are not prepared. Let's run the tape, please.
He said they did not stop running until they got back to the training center. And that's funny, isn't it? It's funny to see somebody who on the outside looks so strong and so invincible, but when met with a challenge, what's on the inside gets revealed. Now, that's funny to us, but let me ask you, if somebody followed you around with a hidden camera all the time, what would they see when you're challenged? What would they see when you're afraid? What would they see when your patience has run out? When your heart is broken? When you're disappointed and you're angry? Maybe it wouldn't be so funny. But it's when we've been cut down that what is inside of us comes out and gets revealed. And God says, be so very careful about wanting to rip that stump and take it away, because what you might be taking away is the very thing that contains my grace. My grace is in that. I can work out of the worst of your life. And this brings us to the last image, the roots. And the roots represent the hidden potential of God's grace. Because that tender shoot is alive because of what we can't see. Below the surface of the ground, the roots that are drawing nourishment and allowing new life to emerge. That's what that tender shoot means. What we cannot see, God is doing something. Sometimes all we can see is what's been taken away. All we can see is the hurt, the disappointment, the things that make us say, what is the state of our world? Where are we headed? What's going to happen? And if that's all we look at, and we don't live into the other formation of grace, we miss that God is doing something powerful below the surface. The Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. Where are you going to put your trust? In what you see or what you don't see? Pastor Javon and I were talking about the message today because he's preaching this morning as well. He's in the chapel right now and he's going to be in here at 11 o'clock. And as we're talking about this idea, he said, oh, that reminds me of a story about our family. He said, Nicole and I, Javon speaking, have a bedtime ritual with our children. We sing this little song to them every night because we want them to remember who they really are. He said, it goes like this. You are loved from your head to your toes, from your fingertips to your nose. And then he said that Nicole and Javon will call their names out. Joshua, Olivia, Isabella, Mommy and Daddy love you. You are a gift from God. He said, they do this every night. And he said, now most of the time we're wondering, is this mattering for anything? The kids are restless. They're trying to not go to bed. They want to stay awake. They're squirming. They're trying to sing this song to them. You are a gift from God. Does it even matter? Then they watch the way they behave sometimes, the way they treat each other, the things that kids will do. And does this even matter? And about a year ago, Joshua and his mother, Nicole, were standing outside the dance studio where they go for lessons. Joshua was about 5 years old at the time. And that day, a gentleman came up to them, a white gentleman, and spit on them and called them a derogatory word, which you can imagine what that word was. This was very upsetting. It was upsetting, but at the same time, for little Joshua, it was a curiosity. What did this word mean that he called me? And am I that? So Javon said, I sat down with him to try to explain to my son, much earlier than I thought I'd have to, the meaning of this word, the history of this word, how it is an awful word no one should ever use. We don't understand in this complicated world of ours why a man who obviously had mental problems would go up to them and do this thing and use this word. And then, as if he figured out the answer, Joshua smiled, his eyes got big, and said, oh, well, Dad, he just doesn't know I'm a gift from God. It obviously took root. It obviously took root. That is grace. That is grace. Trusting that when you form yourself in the ways of God, it takes root in your life and it does things to you. You don't always see at the time, but when you've been cut down, it's going to show forth. It's going to come out. But you have to believe in it. You have to want it. You have to seek it. You have to desire it in your life, and you have to expose yourself to it so that more and more of the grace of God becomes the character of us. I believe if you will be in worship over these weeks ahead and you put into practice the ways of grace that we're going to be talking about, you're going to find God sprouting forth some new possibilities in your life. Yes, we live in a complicated world, but it is a world filled with God's grace. We're going to close singing a song that is perhaps worldwide the most popular hymn for Methodists, a hymn that communicates the essence of that idea that I'm a child of God. It says, "I stand amazed in the presence." It's a Charles Wesley hymn, the brother of John Wesley. They were converted 3 days apart from each other, even though they were already priests in the Church of England. John had been looking for that deeper experience of faith. He believed in the forgiveness of God, but Moravian said to him, "Yes, but have you experienced it?" And he didn't understand, but finally, Charles had this experience, and then John. And to celebrate it, they wrote this hymn, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." We don't sing it as much in American Methodism, but if you go to England, if you go to the average Methodist chapel that only has a handful of people filling the building, they might sleepily sing through every other hymn in the hymnal. But when they come to this one, they will take the roof off with it, because it gets at the core of who God says we are.